Not long after the days when David and Solomon had been king, the nation of the Jews became divided. The northern part of the nation became known as Israel. And there were 10 of the 12 tribes in Israel. The southern kingdom, made up of the tribes of Benjamin and Judah, controlled the city of Jerusalem. Now, Israel in the north had a problem. The mount of worship, the mount where the temple was in the southern kingdom, in Judah, in Jerusalem. And the king was very reluctant for his people to go into another kingdom to worship, for he felt their loyalties would be divided. And so he established a new mountain with a new temple, Mount Gerizim. And he said, "This is where we worship." Eventually, the northern kingdom of Israel was overrun by Assyria. And those 10 tribes were carried off into captivity and literally disappeared from the face of the earth as they were amalgamated and assimilated into other cultures. And we speak of them today as the 10 lost tribes. The Assyrians, who had conquered them, moved into the area of Israel and begin to intermarry with the few Jews that had been left. The Jews of the southern kingdom of Judah despised these hybrid people who came to be known as the Samaritans. As for the Samaritans, even the temple that had been built on Mount Gerizim was destroyed in 128 BC. But they still went there to worship, and often for the high feast days, such as Passover, they gathered near the ruins of their ancient temple to worship. And the Samaritan woman, you will remember, asked Jesus, "Where's the right place to worship, here at Gerizim or in Jerusalem?" Now that's the background of the encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. And that's why there was so much hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. You will remember that when Jesus was asked, "Who is my neighbor?" he told the story of the Good Samaritan. And the hook in the story was the fact that the man who acted in a loving, neighborly way was a Samaritan. As we think about the story of the woman at the well in the context of the history of the Jews and the Samaritans, let me call several things to our attention. First, please notice that Jesus needed a break. The Bible says that Jesus wearied from his journey and sat down beside the well. The Bible says it was the sixth hour. And since the Jewish day began at 6 a.m, the sixth hour was high noon. I am sure Jesus and the disciples had been walking since early morning, and now they were hot and tired and thirsty and hungry. And I want you to know that touches my heart. Sometimes we think of Jesus as being God in some human disguise, that he really wasn't a man, he was just God. But the Bible teaches us he was truly God, but he was also truly man. He was subject to all of the human things to which I am subject. And the Bible says he was tempted even as we are tempted. He wept over Jerusalem because they rejected God. He grieved over his dead friend Lazarus, even though he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. He knew anger at the abuse of God's temple. He knew what it was to be hungry. He knew the heartbreak of ridicule and rejection. And he knew the final terrible agony of crucifixion. Yet in every respect, he was truly a man. And that's what I need. That's what I need. I need to know that God can enter into my joys and my sorrows, my laughter, my tears, my happiness, my despair. For he has known them and shared them too. And he can understand me. Yes, God can laugh with us, rejoice with us, weep with us, mourn with us. He enters into all that we experience, for He has known it too. So Jesus needed a break. I'm so glad. Whatever is happening in your life this morning, God shares it with you. There is no emotion, no fear, no hurt, no wound of the soul that God does not feel with you. There is no happiness, no triumph, but God rejoices with you. Yes, Jesus needed a break. But secondly, Jesus doesn't keep score. Jesus asked the woman at the well for a drink. And first of all, she was a Samaritan. Jews didn't have any fellowship with Samaritans. Second, she was a woman. And women of that day were inferior to men. So to speak to a woman who was also a Samaritan was not possible. Third, she was immoral. Many times married. Now living with a man who isn't even her husband. And fourth, she was either unorganized or unpopular. You see, women came to the well in the cool of the evening to gather water for the next day, but she hadn't been there. Maybe she was unpopular and would have been ostracized, and so she spared herself the pain of going. Or maybe she was so poorly organized that it was only noon of the next day that she was able to get there. But do you know what? Jesus doesn't keep score. He still asks us, whoever we are, whatever our race or color, whatever we might have done, whatever record we may have, He still asks us to serve Him. It doesn't matter what your background is this morning. It doesn't matter what sins you may have committed. Jesus isn't keeping score. You are not excluded from serving the Lord no matter what your record. And notice something else. Not only doesn't Jesus keep score, but He has a funny standard of values. The woman at the well obviously didn't have much to give, but Jesus asks her for just a drink of water. He didn't ask for what she didn't have. He only asked her to share what she had. But do you realize how important that is to Him? Why, Jesus tells us, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. For I was thirsty and you gave me drink." And then He adds, "As you did it unto one of the least of these, you did it to me." And Jesus says, "And whoever gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water shall not lose his reward." You know, a man who has a lot to give and gives it is blessed. But no more blessed is he than the one who has only a cup of water to give and gives it. He only asks for what we have. "But if neither gives it, both shall hear the words, 'Depart from me, for I was thirsty and you gave me no drink.'" So first, Jesus needs a break because of His humanity. And God knows what it's like to be me. And second, Jesus doesn't keep score on our sins. Thank God for that. And third, Jesus has a funny standard of values. You see, He never asks us to give what we don't have. But if we give Him what we do have, it is as important to Him as the gift of a king. Did you realize that? If you give what you have, it's equal to the gift of a king. The next thing I want to say is this. People don't always recognize Jesus. As Jesus and the Samaritan woman talked by the well, He said to her, if you knew who were talking to you, yes, if she only knew that she was talking to the Messiah, the very Son of God, all she had to do was ask Him, and He would give her living water a spring of water welling up within her to eternal life. There are so many today who don't know. There are so many even in the church who hear, but they don't understand. They haven't grasped it. Their hearts aren't open. They don't know. There are so many like lost sheep, mankind blundering through life. I remember seeing a movie once in which some shipwrecked men were drifting on the ocean in a lifeboat. And as the days passed under the scorching sun, the food gave out and the water gave out. And they became delirious from the heat and the thirst. And one night while the others slept, one young sailor ignored the warnings of the others and began to drink the seawater. But ocean water contains 7 times more salt than the human body can safely ingest. Drinking it causes a person to dehydrate even more because the kidneys demand extra water to flush out the overload of salt. By drinking salty water, the young seaman actually became thirstier, and his agonizing death was a death of thirst. People who don't know Jesus try to fill life with things that will satisfy the thirstiness of their souls. But our lusts and our passions and our greeds are like seawater. It only makes us thirstier for more and more until our very souls perish for thirst. Yes, if we only knew who He is. The woman of Samaria cried out, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst." Are you truly thirsty this morning? You may feel you are an unlikely prospect this morning, but Jesus is in the business of giving living water. He doesn't give salt water that kills. He gives water that brings life. Water that wells up into a spring of eternal life. And He offers it to the most unlikely prospects, you and me. The woman at the well was an unlikely prospect. But she cried out for that living water. Jesus reached out to her and said, "I who speak to you am He. I am He." There are a lot of unlikely prospects in the world. Once there was a feather-brained young man who was rich, who played the town fool, going straight to the devil. His soul was full of salt water, and his thirst was killing him. But Jesus said to him, "I am He." And in that young man's soul there began to flow those rivers of living water. And God had Himself a St. Francis of Assisi. Or look at this unlikely prospect. He's a captain of a ship that deals in slaves. A vessel that other vessels passed by with a wide margin because the odor was terrible. He is using his captive women for his sexual pleasure, selling them all into dreadful chains. And yet to this man whose soul was dying of thirst, Jesus came to meet him and said, "I am He." And when the living waters began to flow in the barren and thirsty heart of that man, God had Himself a John Newton. And from that John Newton's pen flowed such incredible hymns, many that we sang today, such hymns as "Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken," and "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds," and one of the most loved of all, "Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me." Yes, if we only knew. Whatever unlikely prospect you might be, Jesus says to you, "I am He." The woman at the well, that unlikely prospect, said to Jesus, "Give me this water. Fill my cup, Lord." And He did.
Will you let him fill your cup too?